Hi Jeff.
Hello, mate.
So again, it's one of our podcasts that we're going to do after each sermon. And this sermon we're looking at was the one about the introduction to abiding and spiritual disciplines, which was a fascinating sermon. Some of the points that you covered were basically the sort of main question was, do we want to walk freely and lightly? We looked at what is abiding, why is abiding important, and then we looked at how then do we abide. I love the fact that you talked about if you're in a room, say with Miriam, you can have a relationship in terms of you're in a relationship, but actually it's only when you sit down and actually get eye contact that you're in a intentional, focused relationship. And I quite like that idea that if anybody asks what abiding is, there is that sense that it is sitting down with Jesus or being intentional to sort of look to Jesus, be filled with Jesus in whatever way that you can. So did you want to explain a little bit more about why you thought that was a helpful example?
Yeah, just because I think there's a difference between relational status and relational experience. You know, that as Christians, we all have a relational status with Jesus or with the Father. You know, we're sons and daughters. You know, Jesus calls us friends. You know, so we know him on that level. But actually, there is a difference between knowing that in terms of that being your status, or knowing that in terms of that being your, you know, kind of mental assertion, against knowing that as your daily experience. And actually, I think Jesus invites us to know him as friend, to know God as Father, to know Holy Spirit as counselor and comforter, as our daily experience, not just purely, well, that's my relational status, well, that's my legal status is righteous before the Father. No, I've been adopted into his family and into into relationship with him, which means being not just connected with him, you know, once a week on a Sunday morning, you know, or once a week at small group, or occasionally when I pick up my Bible to pray or to read, but actually throughout my day, like I can have a continual conscious communion with him throughout my day. And so I think abiding is learning that description is what abiding is to me. And I think the goal of our life should be learning how to do that more and more.
I love that term, conscious communion. What does what's the alternative to that? What's the problem with just living a life where it's relational in terms of status but not by experience? What are we losing?
Jesus. I think, you know, I mean, we're losing what he's come and won for us, you know, and we're also we'll lose out in terms of fruitfulness in our life, you know, because again, John 15 is clear that apart from him we can do nothing. And so the, you know, I think I said on Sunday, you know, if you tend to the tree, the fruit takes care of itself. So when we experience Jesus, we also experience all the things that Jesus comes to offer us. You know, when we walk by the Holy Spirit, which is another way of describing abiding, then we walk in all the things that the Holy Spirit offers us, which is, you know, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control and, you know, all else that comes with that. And so then the opposite of that is when we don't, walk closely with him, we don't experience those things. You know, we experience our flesh, and we experience the opposite of that, even though the relational status doesn't change, but we're not living in the fullness of it. So I sometimes think of it as like, you know, it's like you've inherited this you know, amazing kind of house, and yet you only live in the hallway, you know. You don't branch out into the rest of the house and explore the rest of the house. And it's like, well, I'm technically living in the house, but I'm not experiencing the fullness of everything that Jesus has for me. And so I think sometimes we just go, okay, I believe, you know, I'm saved, I go to church, so I'm experiencing this, you know, I'm in the house, so I experience a bit of it. But actually, I guess what I want to put to people is say, but there's so much more. There's so much more. Actually, do you almost ask people the question, do you know you don't have to be to live with fear? You know, you don't have to live with continual underlying anxiety, you know, or did you know you don't have to be bound to that sinful pattern of thinking or behavior? And I think sometimes we just accept those things. It's like, oh, well, we're fallen beings and it's a fallen world. And, you know, and we're not going to be sinless until we see Jesus face to face. But I do think we set our expectations far too low, you know, in terms of, experience and fruitfulness.
So I can imagine if you were sitting down with your wife, partner, or a good friend, and you were looking at them face to face and communing and talking in a loving way, that that sounds a really easy and fulfilling thing to do. So in your mind, is abiding just that? It's easy and fulfilling. It's not something that's very difficult to do.
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's both easy and difficult.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I think it's easy in the sense that Jesus offers us an easy yoke. Mm-hmm. So his way of life, his teaching, isn't like a heavy burdensome thing. It leads to life.
Mm.
It's difficult because it's so counter our culture. Yeah. And it's difficult because it's so counter our flesh.
Mm.
You know, and it's difficult because it's not in that sense like an easy win or an easy fix, because when we're abiding with Jesus, it's kind of this constant process of spiritual, you know, renewal or reprocessing, and that isn't always easy, and because it costs us things to do that, so it requires something of us, but the life that it brings us is so much greater than, you know, kind of what it costs us.
I think we're getting into that area of your sermon, which is, I suppose, will be quite is the difficult bit, which is where you were basically saying, don't do, be, but then you said that...
But be by doing.
And then you mentioned the spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
So did you want to just sort of talk into that, the relationship between being, doing, and what these spiritual disciplines are all about?
I think I grew up in an environment where, you know, when I became a Christian, it was very much like, okay, so you become a Christian, you know, by grace, you've been saved. But now you make sure you read your Bible, you know, and you make sure you pray, and you make sure you do this, and you make sure, and it kind of felt like it came with a lot of shoulds, which felt a little bit opposed to this message of grace.
Mm.
And so on the one hand, you know, everything, like I was saying on Sunday, everything needs to be grace driven. You know, nothing's law driven. Mm. You know, there is a difference between earning an effort.
Mm.
So I need the foundation of my life always to be the gospel, which is, you know, the gospel of grace, which means that I'm accepted and welcomed and forgiven, you know, and righteous because of nothing that I do. But in terms of cultivating deeper relationship with Jesus, I can't earn that, but I can do something to experience it more fully. And so it's doing in itself, you know, where the goal is doing, won't lead to fruitfulness.
Yeah.
So praying because the goal is praying, let me tick that off my list. Reading my Bible because the goal is reading my Bible, and that's what good Christians should do, won't lead to fruitfulness.
Yeah, yeah.
But doing because I want to be close to Jesus, doing because that's the way that I encounter Jesus, and that's the way that I get to know him more, experience more of his love and grace in my life. You know, it's like it's the doorway, or to use the example I gave, it's the trellis on which the plant grows. You know, the aim is, you know, the aim is a beautiful fruitful plant, not a lovely looking trellis. When the plant's there, you don't really pay much attention to the trellis, but if you took the trellis away, the plant would wither and die. So it's the framework on which I build my life, or the activity through which, to use an expression that I read, you know, opens the flow between vine and branch. You know, it's the doorway into abiding. And so the focus is on being, but you be through doing.
Okay, so another lovely example you gave was playing the guitar. So really what you're saying is, don't just learn to play the guitar for the, you know, practice all your chords and get finger memory and never play a song and never play a worship song and never end up just forgetting that you're playing guitar and worship God. That was an example of that. So where do the spiritual disciplines fit in then? Are they the songs we play then? Are they... How do you see that, using that metaphor of the guitar, or getting what you call spiritual memory muscle?
I guess they are the practice before the song.
Okay.
You know, they might morph into the song,
because
even when you're playing a song, you're still learning.
Mm.
But they are the kind of the discipline that gets me to the place of being able to play the song. And so by doing the practice, by learning the chords, that creates opportunity for beautiful melody, you know. And so therefore, by engaging in disciplines. Now, it's not a perfect analogy, because obviously when you're praying, that's a discipline of prayer. You're engaging in a discipline, but you're also having an encounter because you're praying. So the two are kind of blending into one.
Yeah.
But as you're having the encounter, the more that you do it, you're also growing in practice.
Mm.
You're also changing the way you think. You know, reading the word, there's a discipline, read the word.
Mm.
But there's also an encounter there. I'm encountering God through the word.
Mm.
There's also a changing of my thinking as I'm reading the word. You know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
I think it's kind of both ends.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought that's a nice way of looking at that whole, resolving that thing about doing and being.
Mm.
I thought that's quite a nice picture. We gave out another handout at the end of that, and this was the spiritual discipline questionnaire. What do you think people will get out of that? Why did you put that together?
I think, again, I just wanted to give people a tool that they could use to begin to think about what spiritual disciplines they might find particularly useful to invest in. So there are some classic spiritual disciplines and things that Jesus models and talks about, which I think all of them have benefit. But I think the reality is some will chime more with people and at different seasons as well. Some will be more beneficial. So, you know, I know for myself, there have been seasons where I've really disciplined in prayer, you know. And then actually prayer begins to feel like it's becoming really fruitful.
Mm.
But there's another discipline that's really going to benefit me, so I might really discipline myself in a season to make sure that I'm really worshiping, you know. Mm. And sometimes we can think I've got to hit all of these at the same time,
right? Okay.
And it's like I don't necessarily think you do. Mm. I think there are seasons where you adopt these practices to kind of grow in them more and more. So what I was trying to do through the questionnaire was to show you how the practices might relate to the experiences of your heart. So, like, for example, you know, if you tend towards, you know, cynicism, or, you know, not being grateful, or, you know, struggling to believe in God's goodness or whatever, then actually the discipline of worship is going to deal with those issues in your heart. So it might be a good thing to pick up that as a discipline. So I was trying to show the connection between kind of our experiences, and most of them are negative experiences, or our positive desires, and how they can be informed through adopting one of the disciplines.
Okay, so... So my one was prayer and slowing.
Yep.
So I noticed that we've got seven spiritual disciplines. So assume they're going to be different sermons that are going to come up. So for me, I'm particularly looking forward to the slowing sermon. And the works, all of the stuff that you've invested for me will be all the material that coming off the back of that, be the small group notes, the extra reading, the worksheets. I suppose really that I, in terms of my time, I'd be better off looking at the prayer material and the slowing material. Is that what you'd advise me to do?
Yeah, I mean, I want to encourage everybody to dip their toe into all of the practices.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, we'll be encouraging small groups to use their time to talk about these things and share your experiences, but also to practice.
Yeah.
But also in between small groups to be saying, right, you know, so after the prayer one, you know, what are you going to be doing now, you know, for the next 2 weeks until we meet again to make prayer, or it might be reading the word, which is the next one coming up, you know, adopting a new practice, just trying a new practice, and then kind of coming back and sharing, how did you find it? What was difficult? Has there been any fruit kind of in your life? And then, you know, it might be that you then adopt that as a practice going on. But what it won't necessarily mean, so I don't know, say when we come to worship, I really want to encourage people, you know, to cultivate and create a practice of worship in their life for a little season. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to do that now for the next 6 months. They might do, because they might begin to see a real fruit in it. But I want to just kind of open up their minds to the potential that comes through that practice. But if there are ones that specifically resonate, then yeah, that would be my encouragement to really start there. So dip your toe in all of them, experience all of them. Some of them maybe surprise you, because some of them might be ones that you never really thought, you know, have even thought about or experienced, or think that they would do any good in your life.
Yeah.
And then actually, as you start to do it, you start to see real fruitfulness, you know, coming from it. You think, wow, that's a real practice, you know, that I want to start adopting, but I'd never really even thought about it. So, and then obviously, you know, we've put some book recommendations and stuff on as well. So there might be that, you know, prayer really resonates with you, or slowing.
So
you go, I really want to dig more into this. I'm going to read around this as well and really try to learn, you know, learn about this.
So you're describing your heart for a very reflective church, one that's really examining itself, its shape of its soul. Is that what we're doing as we're going through these disciplines?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, again, I think that's the natural, for me, that's the natural fruit that comes from being with Jesus. Mm. I you know, again, I always want the focus to start with Jesus. Mm. But I think when you focus on Jesus, he then, you know, holds up a mirror, you know, to your life and invites you to reflect upon, you know, how you're doing as well and where, you know, he wants to grow you and make you more like him ultimately. So I think he's always doing that work of revelation and conviction in our hearts. So it's just really about getting on board with the work that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in us, I think.
Brilliant. Well, again, thanks, Jeff, for sharing your heart. For that was really, really helpful. Thank you.